Let us now turn to read God's word, and our reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, and chapter 14. The book of Numbers and chapter 14. Let us read and hear God's word. We break it in after the report of the spies come back with the state of the land in which they are to enter, and before them. Chapter 14, verse 1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And therefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence, and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest out this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and by a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations who have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men who have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years up, old and upward, who have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into this land, concerning which I spare to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Amen, and may God add his blessing to that reading of his own holy and inspired word. Psalm 56, as we continue our worship, singing from verse 3. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. In God I'll praise his word. I will not fear what flesh can do. My trust is in the Lord. Each day they rest my words, their work, their thoughts against me are all for ill. They meet, they lurk, they mark my steps, waiting my soul to kill. But shall they by iniquity escape thy judgment so? O God, with indignation down do thou the people throw. My wanderings all which they have been, what they have been, thou knowest their number took. Into thy bottle put my tears, are they not in thy book? The expression of faith and trust the psalmist gives to us when things are going against him and not so well for him. Psalm 56, when I'm afraid, I trust in thee. I want to come this morning to the New Testament and to the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews and chapter 4. And from the beginning of that chapter, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And we can immediately see the connection with that and our reading this morning, the way in which they, in the book of Numbers, were set the prospect of entering into the land of promise with all that it held and all that it had in store for them. But they were not prepared to trust in God to bring them into it. And so they were condemned to wilderness experience and to die there. And that same challenge comes home to us with the gospel set before us and the way in which we are called to trust in the Lord. And they are set for us an example and as a challenge as to what we do this morning with the gospel in our hands and in our minds. Knowing the basic gospel truths of the Christian message is quite simply not enough. Many people today in our society think that that's the essence of being a Christian, that that's all that's required of them, just simply that they know it and that they in some way order their life and go through the rituals and the habits dictated by that knowledge that they possess. But when you go to the book of James, he talks in chapter 2 about the devils who believe and they tremble. Oh yes, they believe in the existence of God. There is no problem about their knowledge. They are not ignorant. They know that God exists. But they shudder with fear at the thought, at the application, at the consequences. They are scared of that reality. Terror grips them, shakes them in fear at the holiness, at the justice of God. That knowledge they have disturbs them, but it doesn't change them. And therefore we are left with a very sobering conclusion. Knowledge and knowing something does not save our soul. What we need is commitment and trust. We need that faith, that living faith of relying upon what Jesus Christ has done through his death on the cross. That's our only hope. It must be our only hope. That can only be our only argument. That must be the only thing we hold on to as we appear before God to enjoy his favor and his blessing. It's important then that we have faith, trust in God. That's brought out in this book of Hebrews, and it's brought out in so many different ways. I just want to highlight different thoughts that lead up to the one that we're going to look at in chapter 4 and these few verses at the beginning. There's a solemn warning to us given from the past. If you go to the previous chapter 3, and you read from verse 7 onwards, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the days of the temptation in the wilderness." What the writer is doing is he is setting out a solemn warning from history, a marker from the history that we can all look back to. It was an interesting company that left Egypt and brought out of Egypt. God had done so much for them, promised them so much. They were slaves, given their freedom. They wandered from Egypt to the wilderness, and they were at the borders of the Canaan, the promised land. And God had promised that he would settle them there, subdue their enemies and serve them. But at that border they doubted. They doubted the promise of God. We read it there in Numbers 13, Numbers 14. And of all the crowd that came, there was only two people singled out and separated as totally different. Caleb and Joshua. They trusted in God. They had that faith. And they are the markers and the examples given for us. There was the joy of coming across the Red Sea. They were singing as they were going to the land of promise. They had great hopes as they walked on. But what happened next? When you look behind them as they left that border, when you look behind them after God had turned them away into the wilderness, what do you see but a line of graves in the sand? And every night there was an addition to the line. Instead of entering the land of rest, they were laid to rest in the wilderness. So noble a people, so lofty a destiny, so glorious a journey. Yet they failed, because they had no faith or trust in God. The solemn warning from history. A beacon there to warn us. Whenever you think of our lives as a journey across the seas, whenever you think of life as a voyage, there's always the warnings of the lighthouse and the beacons of the rocks and the dangers, just the same way as there's the attraction of the harbour lights and the pier and the safety and security of a morning. So therefore there is this warning given to us from history. They enter not in because of unbelief. There we have it. The warning from history. But then, that's not the only warning that it gives us in this chapter, in this book. When you come down to verse 12, it says, "Take heed, brethren." And then verse 13, but to exhort one another daily. He's speaking about now, in our time, in our day. He says, while it is called today, there is this earnest appeal given to us all as we hear this gospel. Don't switch off. But instead, hear it. It's given time and time again. It's repeated three times in this section. Listen to what God is saying to you. We have, every time we gather here on a Sunday morning, a fresh appointment with God. We have here a fresh meeting and encounter with Him. And He speaks to us and with us. And there's always this appeal in what He says to us today. Today, if you hear what He's saying, don't harden your heart, don't switch off. Because you need to hear and to listen what He is saying to us. So therefore we're told here that faith is important. Faith, trust in God is vital. And it's highlighted and set before us as essential for the salvation of our souls. So the argument concludes as we come to chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear. And what he's saying is, just be solemn and be quiet and be careful. That's what it means by fear. Take care to assess what we're doing with what we're hearing. There's this solemn warning from history. There's this earnest appeal in the present. Therefore, take heed what we're doing with all of these privileges which God has given to us. And I want simply to think of they who went before us. And I want us to think of the lessons that they bring to us. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entering into His rest, any of us or you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. They heard the gospel, we hear the gospel. What then was the message they heard? They heard the gospel of salvation and deliverance from Egypt, of entering into the land that God had appointed and set before them. They had the essentials of the gospel truths in their hand. We have more added to ourselves, but that only makes us more guilty, as well as giving us more knowledge. Not one of us can ever turn round and say, I never knew all of that. So then, what was the message they heard? The message they heard was, first of all, a message of help and assistance. And nobody could appreciate that more than these slaves in Egypt. They had to work until they were exhausted. They had to work day and night. There was no rest from the count of the bricks and the things they had to do. And when things got tight, they just were beaten up a little bitty more. That's the kind of lifestyle they had. And to them, there came this glorious message. God had said, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will set my people free. God said, I will come, and I will help my people. That's the message they heard. And that's the message that comes to us still in the gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that He has come to save and to redeem and to set us free. I have come to give you life in all of its fullness, in all of its abundance. He has come to give us rest for our soul which is much more precious than rest for our body. Look at the nature of this spiritual message that is before you and me in this gospel. There's a freedom from the burden of sin. There's a freedom from the pressures of fear. There's a breaking of the bondage of habit, living underneath sin's domain all the time. The dread and the wrath of God has been removed and the guilt has been taken away from our conscience. All of these are the rich blessings that the Lord says, I will do for you. The Lord has promised help to his people, and he holds that message out in the gospel for us today. But faith must be mixed with the hearing of it. We cannot do these things for ourselves. It is the Lord who has come to help and set his people free. Israel couldn't set themselves free from Egypt. They were held in an iron hand, and they needed the power of their God to bring them out. And he brought them out through a blood sacrifice, remember. Through the blood of the Passover lamb on the lintels and on the side posts of the door. And the same truth is given to us in the gospel. God has indeed come to help. He has made provision for forgiveness of sin. We cannot get that for ourselves. We cannot set ourselves free. We cannot give rest to our conscience and a hope stretching before us. We cannot do that. But God has. And he calls on you and me to trust in the only way that it is possible. Again, through a blood sacrifice. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his own Son. There is this message of help. A message of help that is available in this gospel for those who know they are in need. They, slaves in Egypt, felt their need. They knew what it was to suffer day after day. And if God has been at work in your soul or mine, and we're aware of our guilt, and day after day we cannot escape it or evade it, where do we go for rest? The only place we can go to is where it is held out and offered. The help that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, come unto me, and I will give you rest. But we need to trust and have faith. It's not enough just simply to know. We must make that commitment and trust in Jesus Christ through life, death, and to that meeting with God thereafter. We can try to avoid the gospel challenge. We can try to avoid what God might be saying right now to us here this morning. We can say, well, it applies to someone else. It applies to another, not to me. It's something that I want to hear later on, not now. And we try to get out of the challenge that the Lord is placing, this earnest appeal in the present. Let us therefore fear. We've heard the gospel as they heard the gospel. The question then is, what are we doing with what we have heard? It comes down to a very personal response that no one else has any party to. No one else has any input to it. Just you and me, alone before God. As this message echoes down through the years in our mind and our memory, and these words of verse 1 come and speak to us, not only challenging us, not only warning us, but appealing to us. We saw last week the wisdom that Solomon had to do what is right. So therefore the wisdom here also this morning to do what is right. Let us therefore be careful, because we saw what happened to them. We do not want that to happen to ourselves, do we? It was preached to them. It's been preached to us. What are we doing with the message we hear? Well, that's the first thing that simply comes out of this experience and text. The message they heard. The second thing I want us to think about is their failure to profit from it. It's a glorious message. They came out of Egypt, but unfortunately, a lot of Egypt came with them when they came out, because they wanted to go back in so quickly. We read there at the beginning, or towards the beginning of chapter 14 of Numbers, "Oh, would to God that we had died in Egypt. Let's make captains and let's go back there." There was so much of Egypt still with them. They were tied to the land and they were tied to the place. And they did not profit because they did not have faith. The old things were still lingering with them. There was no change in their life, for there was no change in their thinking, there was no change in their hopes. They talked as if God had done them some injury to bring them out and setting them free. The failure to profit from the message they heard. There is a narrow gate. It allows passage of one person at a time. We know that old gospel image. And to get in and through that gate, we cannot take any baggage with us. We cannot take any friends beside us. There are no extras that go with us along and through that narrow gate. It's alone, ourselves apart. And that emphasizes and brings before us the essence of this gospel of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But they did not have that faith. They did not have that trust. How did they look upon that land that was in prospect before them? This glorious message that God had provided for them. That glorious provision of milk and honey. The gospel that is before us of pardon and forgiveness. The things that God speaks of in the gospel that are derived from the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Of that great acceptance with God. Of that bliss of pardon and peace and forgiveness. These are the gospel truths that are set before us in the message. What then? What then do we think of them? Well, for these people of old, they said, "The land eats the inhabitants." What does that mean? It means that the land is going to defeat them. They said, the spies came back and says, "Oh yes, it's a good land," and they could say it's good in this and that and many other respects, "but we'll never conquer it. The people that are in the land, we can never conquer them, we can never overcome them." They despised the land. They started out with a defeatist attitude. That's why they failed. But there were two in that company. There were two in that company who looked to God to do it for them, and they trusted that God could do and would do as God had promised. That the Lord God could indeed bring them into the land and give it to them and conquer all the people, giants as they were, in that land. So it is in this gospel, it holds out good and great things for us. It holds out amazing prospect and provision. Sometimes, yes, sometimes we can say, well, I don't know, maybe, perhaps. And we begin to get defeatist. Well, can anybody give me what I need and what I'm wanting? And we can be so often just like them. But what we need is that faith and trust to look to God and simply to say, I believe that God will do what God has said. These are His promises. And I am taking God at His word. This is what Jesus Christ has said, and this is what He has done. And He has done it for the salvation of sinners. I need help. I'm a sinner. And I'm going to come and I'm going to trust in what Jesus Christ has done. And whenever God enters into judgment with me, or whenever the devil stirs my conscience, or whenever the past is paraded before my eye and out in my memory, what am I going to do then? I'm simply going to go back to that comfort that I had and that commitment I made. And I'm going to trust time and time again. I believe and I trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And I'm not moving a step from it. And I'm sticking close by Him. And I'm looking to Him always, day after day, to keep me safe. My soul in His hand. That's what the Christian does. And that's the essence of faith and trust. That's what we have to do. Trust in God. But they didn't. Let us therefore fear a promise being left us, any of us should seem to come short of it. Because look at the lesson of history that is given to us there. The last two verses that we read, 31 and 32, in Numbers 14. There we see the line of carcasses and graves starting with anybody that was 20 years old and upwards. Oh yes, they sang their song of the Red Sea. They came out boasting perhaps in God. Yet when they came to the border, they trembled and they drew back. When it came down to the wire, when it came down to a practical consequence and application, they drew back. What a fearful consequence it is. What a fearful thing it is not to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes put to one side the prospect of a lost eternity. We put to one side the solemn warnings of excluded from God and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the darkness that will envelop and hold us forever. We put to one side these things as perhaps extreme and over the top and such like. But there is nothing that takes away this fearfulness of these very things. That's what the Bible tells us is going to happen. And here we have it set out in a way that we can recognize, a way that we can see, a line of graves, because they missed out on faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in God and the promises that He had given and made. And the warning coming to us, heed, be careful, be fearful. Listen to what He is saying while we still have opportunity. They failed to profit because they did not have faith in God. There was no defect in the message that Moses brought and the promise and the prospect he set before them. It was simple, it was beautiful, it was appealing, it was complete. There was nothing wrong in Moses himself. He was a meek man, he was a gentleman. The problem was where? The problem was within their own souls. They had no trust in God. And it doesn't matter how simple the message might be in its presentation to us. It doesn't matter how good the communication skills of the preacher is. It doesn't matter even if it was an angel that spoke or somebody rose from the dead. If we don't have faith, if we don't have faith in our soul, if we don't take this gospel to ourselves, we shall indeed be lost. Just think of a great banquet. We have them regularly in the cookery programs on TV. A banquet for the Queen's celebration, a banquet for the D-Day landings, a banquet for this, and cooks and chefs have got to prepare the best. Well, there's the table and it's set. You can sit at the table and you can describe the meal, the way it was brought up, the way it was cooked rather, and put together. You can describe the meal and all its ingredients and the way it's presented. You can describe it in beautiful terms. But you've got to eat it. You've got to taste it. It's no good describing it and stopping at that. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that God is good. Take him at his word and try him for yourself." It is essential that we have then that personal trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We dare not rely upon the traditional, the historical. We dare not rely upon the cultural and the domestic Christianity of our upbringing, of our day and our generation. We must have that personal relationship and trust in Jesus Christ. If not, there are rocks and there are dangers. And they're there round about us, and the warning is given to us. The solemn warning about the past. The way in which they were on the border and they were given the prospect and they turned their back and they wandered in the wilderness because they did not trust. They did not trust in God. We need to seek him then and seek him now. We need to put our souls right with God. To place our confidence in him. It's not what we can do, but it's what Christ has done that's important. How then do I react? How do I respond? How do you react? How do you respond when God tells us about the problems we have and about our own souls? How can I deal with all that's wrong in my life? What am I going to say to this gospel message of pardon offered in and through Jesus Christ? That's the kind of message that was preached to these people long ago. And their history is there as a warning and a challenge to us. Let us therefore fear. We need to be so careful what we do with these simple words. Not that I'm saying, but what God is saying to us. We need to be so careful because of the consequences that run out from them. We need to trust and we need to rely upon Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. And for spiritual blessings from his hand. Knowing is not enough simply to possess the knowledge of the scriptures. Good as it is, but it's not enough. We need to know Jesus Christ and have that faith and trust in Him for the salvation of our souls for all eternity. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, as we come before Thee this morning, having heard these solemn issues presented before us, we pray for the work of Thy Spirit to bring them home to our hearts. There are so many distractions that can flutter before our minds. There are so many things that try to intrude, to grab hold of our thinking. There are so many other things, beautiful and attractive, that may creep up to catch our eye. But, O Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst hold all of these things at a distance from us just now, that we might take care how we respond and what we are doing with this glorious truth of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask Thy grace and Thy blessing in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. We close from Psalm 95. This psalm, which is quoted several times in that passage we've been looking at this morning. Psalm 95 at verse 6. O come and let us worship Him, let us bow down with awe, and on our knees before the Lord our Maker let us fall. For He is our God, the people we of His own pasture are, and of His hand the sheep today, if ye His voice will hear. Then harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the desert on the day of the temptation. When me your fathers tempted and proved, and did my working see, even for the space of 40 years this race hath grieved me. I said, this people errs in heart, my ways they do not know, to whom I swear in wrath, that to my rest they should not go. 95 from 6 to the end, O come and let us worship Him. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.